I guess I'm on. Am I on, Brian? I guess, am I on? Is that good? Oh, good. Well, great to have you here. Thanks for coming today. Thanks for being a part of what God's doing here at Covenant. We're so glad to have you. And if you're a guest, we're blessed to have you here and trust you'll come back and spend time with us again as we worship God. Somebody asked me earlier about the flood buckets on Wednesday and putting them together. And I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. They asked me about, can kids come and help? And I'm like, absolutely they can come and help. If you have children that you trust to go and can put an item off the table in the bucket, bring them. They're more than welcome to come. And we want them to be part of that experience. I mean, that's amazing. It's an amazing experience for them. And we invite you to bring them as well. It's just a very, very special time. You know, Mel and I visit in the hospitals quite often. And a lot of times we visit people after they've had surgery or they've maybe had some kind of medical issue, and we go and we walk into their room and we'll say, hey, how you doing? How's things going? And quite often what they'll say is, well, I'm better today than I was yesterday. Well, those are great words to us. Or they'll say, well, I'm getting better every day. We love hearing those kind of reports from people who are struggling through some kind of medical issue or something going on in their life. This past week, I was thinking about our Wednesday night fuel class. We're doing a Wednesday night class on 1 Peter as well as our Sunday morning stuff. And I was preparing for that, thinking about what we were going to do. And I thought to myself, well, isn't that statement that I hear in a hospital quite often, isn't that what we ought to be saying as Christ followers, that I'm better today than I was yesterday, that I'm better tomorrow than I am today? You know, isn't that what we ought to be about? Isn't that the whole point of who we are as Christ followers, is to be better, to get better, to grow up? You see, in our walk with Jesus, becoming holy is an ongoing work of grace in our lives. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just one day, one moment, and that's it. It's an ongoing work, and it's an ongoing thing in our lives. It takes us from that moment that we turn our hearts over to Jesus to that moment where we walk into the gates of heaven. Grace. And it's an ongoing process. It's getting better every day. It's being better today than I was yesterday. It's being better next week than I was this week. God pours His grace into us, into our lives. And instantaneously, when God pours His grace into our lives, we surrender our hearts, we are instantaneously changed. Instant, like, I mean, it's a snap of fingers, twinkling of an eye. We are changed. Our hearts are different. And God then continues to pour His grace into our lives so that we can continuously be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's grace. That's what God does for you and for me. We continuously turn our hearts and lives away from the sin and brokenness that seems to so easily entangle us. And because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, living in us, we can grow up. Because of His presence in our hearts and in our lives, we can grow up and keep growing in the right direction. And that's what we're all about. That's what we need to be about. And that's what Peter so much longed for when he wrote this letter to the people who would read it. He wanted them to keep growing in grace. He wanted them to be better tomorrow than they are today. He wanted them to be better next week than they are this week. He wanted them to be better next month than they are this month. He wanted them to grow up in the right direction. The people of Peter's world were doing their very best to live into to the grace that God poured into their lives. In the face of mockery, in the face of ridicule, in the face of persecution, and even worse. And they were going to face some stuff in the future, some issues. And Peter's heart was for these people who would read his letters to be ready to face whatever came at them. Listen, that's such a good reminder for you and me as we live life as Jesus followers in 2017. Because our world is not so drastically different than Peter's world. Maybe a little more technology, a little more stuff, right? But listen, we live in a world that is tuning out the good news about Jesus. We live in a world that's tuning out His love, God's love, for all of humanity. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is loved by God. But we live in a world that's tuning that out and putting it aside, setting it up on a shelf. We see a continuously shrinking percentage of persons who self-identify as Jesus followers. Every year it shrinks. The percentage, the numbers are shrinking of people who self-identify as Jesus followers. We see religious liberties in our country being restricted and removed from the public eye. We see those who live in a daily relationship with Jesus ridiculed and mocked for their faith. In fact, sometimes those persons who live for Jesus are said to be, oh, out of touch. Or, that's so old-fashioned. That's so outdated. Or worse. So church, the question for you and for me today is, how are we to be salt and light in a world of decay and darkness? How do we do that? How do we make that jump? And part of our mission here at Covenant Church is to grow up into passionate, spiritually mature followers of Jesus. We're committed to that. That's why we do Wednesday nights. That's why we do Sunday school classes. That's why we have small groups. That's why we do those ongoing things that help us to continue to grow in grace. Because we're committed to growing up into the likeness of Jesus. And that's something we should never, ever set aside as His people. Following Jesus is a daily thing. It takes work. It's a daily grind. It's a daily task. It takes a daily effort to grow into the likeness of Jesus. We should always be looking to grow up in the right direction. And in the scripture today, Peter shares some of the next steps that help us to grow in the right direction. So I want you to grab your bulletins, or your Bibles, or your smartphone, or whatever you've got with you that you want to read the scripture from. And we're going to start at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And we're going to walk our way through this passage and look at these next steps that Peter lays out in front of us in order to help us to grow up into the right direction, into the likeness of Jesus. Into His grace, into His mercy, into His power. By the way, if you've got a pen or a pencil and would like to write some of these things down, we're going to talk about some of these really easy steps. I won't say easy steps. Steps that will help us to grow up. And you might want to write them down. You might want to underline them in your Bible. The first step that helps us to grow into His likeness, to grow up in the right direction, is to be hopeful. Be hopeful. Verse 13. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Now here we go, listen. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Oh, let's talk about that for a minute. Let me say this. In most other translations, the very first word of that sentence is therefore. And when that word therefore is there, you need to take a look at what's Peter talking about here. And what he's really talking about are the first things he said in the first 12 verses. Last week we talked about the living hope. That is Jesus Christ, right? We live in Him. It's living hope for this moment, for this day, for this hour. A living hope that we find in Jesus. The salvation experience that Peter talked about in those first 12 verses. Because of that salvation experience, we can be hopeful as we face life head on. We can be hopeful as we face our future. That's what Peter's talking about here. Because we know, as followers of Jesus, we know our future. We do? Oh yeah, we do. We know our future. We know what is ahead of us. We know what is ours for all of eternity as children of God. Eternity with Jesus. And because of that, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus is fully revealed to the world. When people see Jesus for who He really is, we'll be in glory forever. That's the hope Peter is talking about. Be hopeful. Be hopeful. And then he says, prepare and engage your mind. What does that mean? What it means is, don't get distracted. Don't get freaked out by the chaos, by the confusion, by the mockery, by the ridicule, by the persecution of people who don't know what they're talking about. Don't go there. What Peter's saying is, get your stuff together. Get your stuff together, roll up your sleeves, and face whatever the world throws at you because of the Jesus who lives in you. Our hope says that we are His and He is ours. Oh, church, maybe you didn't hear that. Our hope says that we are His and He is ours. So set our minds. Lock them in. Be hopeful because of our known future, eternal life, not on what we see in the present. Be hopeful, church. Then he talks about a second step. And the second step is to be holy. Be hopeful and now be holy. Verse 14. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. Well, those great words are what? Isn't that true? I mean, think about life before Jesus. Before Christ in your life. I mean, I don't know about you, but my life was a mess. Because I didn't know any better. I was doing things for me. Anybody relate to that? You know, and then that's the way. And so Peter's warning us here. Look, and he's saying, look, you got to get out of that stuff. You didn't know any better, so don't slip back into it. Don't go back into that stuff. Now, then he goes in verse 15, in verse 16, here's the crux of this be holy thing. Listen to this. But now you must be holy in everything you do. just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as, what does it say there? Really? How many times have we thought, well, I'm going to live forever, right? I got all the time in the world to figure this stuff out. You ever thought that? I did before Jesus. I got all the time in the world. This is no big deal. I can wait till the last second and make it happen, right? Wait, we're temporary residents here. This is a blip on the screen to what eternity is going to be like. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, He has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. Before Jesus, the readers that Peter was writing to didn't have a clue. They're like us. They didn't know any better. They were just living life. And you know, like I said before, you know, most of the times before Jesus, we just live to satisfy ourselves. Whatever feels good in the moment, whatever we can do for that moment to make life better, that's what we do. We don't know any better. That's what it's all about. But because of Jesus, because of what He did on the cross, because of His daily presence in our lives, a change becomes necessary. And Peter says that change, that next step, is to be holy. To be holy. The change is to urgently, with purpose, be holy. Always changing. Always be. The verb tense there is really, it's an ongoing be. It's not just a one-time thing. It's ongoing. So we're always becoming. We're always being transformed. We're always separating ourselves from the brokenness of our world in order to become different. The word holy means to be set apart as His possession. Think about what that, hear what I just said? To be set apart as His possession. It means to be used for His purposes. It means to be different. It means to be distinct. It means to bear the image of Jesus in our lives. It means to be peculiar. I've known some peculiar people. You probably have as well. This is talking about a different kind of peculiar. This is peculiar, different, distinct, because of the Jesus living in us. Holy means to be all those things, to point people to Jesus because of our lives. People look at us and say, man, what is wrong with you? Oh, listen, nothing's wrong with me. It's all right with me because Jesus lives in me. It's being different than the person who doesn't know any better. It's having a distinct lifestyle. It's becoming every day better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today. It's becoming. Holiness is a wholehearted devotion to the whole nature of God. Holiness reaches in and it transforms us, every aspect of our lives. It involves holy living in every part of life. That means our work becomes holy. We're no longer working for the man. We're working for the man. You know, it means our play becomes holy. It means that our social life becomes holy. It means that our use of social media becomes holy. It's transformed. It means how we relax becomes holy. How we vacation becomes holy. Our life even within the church becomes holy. Somebody wrote a book called Everyday Church. And in the book there's this quote that says, "It isn't our similarity to culture that has missionary power. It's our differences." I like that. It's because people see us as different that gives us missionary power to share the gospel. Be holy. Be different. Be distinct. Be peculiar. Then the next step he talks about here, it's to be loving. Be loving. Verse 22. "You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God." Transformed by love. Transformed by love in our behavior toward our sisters and brothers who are on the journey with us. You know who that means? That means everybody sitting here. Everybody that was here for first service. But it doesn't stop there. You see, there I could probably name 15, maybe 20 churches in Oldham County. Guess what? They're all our sisters and brothers if they trust Jesus Christ with all their heart. Don't freak out because there are other churches doing other stuff. They're our sisters and brothers. They're not our enemies. We're on the same team. Y'all, come on. We're on the same team. And what that means here, what Peter means when he says to love, show sincere love, those two words, sincere love, and when he says love each other deeply with all your heart, what he means here is to relentlessly, listen, relentlessly have each other's backs. So that means when somebody starts talking about the church down the road and how bad they are, say, whoa! Whoa, 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 whoa. Those are my sisters and brothers you're talking about. They love Jesus. Just like I do. We're in this together. They're on my team. They're on my team. Don't talk about my family that way. That's what that means. Love them relentlessly. Have their backs. Especially in when culture and society is hammering us with stuff that's not true. Yeah. Wow. Oh, I'm not going to go there. Love, like Peter's talking about here, shows up in our unrelenting, intense, sincere, earnest, self-giving, sacrificial, enduring, no man left behind commitment to each other. To each other. I am going to go there. Listen. I don't know all about Joel Osteen that I need to know. But he got hammered on social media. And you know what was sad? That the church jumped on the bandwagon. Some of those people are our sisters and brothers, y'all. And we ought to be standing up for them. We ought to have their backs. That's what Peter's talking about here. Now, he does some weird stuff in my mind. He's got some weird ideas about some stuff. But some of those people, I guarantee you, love Jesus with all their heart, like we do. We ought to have their backs. That's what this is talking about. Peter says here, this kind of love shows up, if you look at chapter 2, verse 1. Put away the junk that's there. The evil behavior, deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, unkind speech. Oh, and listen, that's not an exhaustive list. There's probably lots of other stuff we could add there. But that's a practical outcome of loving one another with a Jesus kind of love. Taking that next step and growing in the right direction. And there's one more. Be hungry. Be hungry. Like verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Listen, our souls are satisfied by the infilling power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Our souls are satisfied when the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come to take residence in us. And Peter urges us to long for that, to be passionate about it, to desire it, to crave it, because it's something that you can't go without. What is the pure spiritual milk that Peter is talking about? What is it that he's talking about? Now, this is going to sound way too simple. But the pure spiritual milk that Peter talks about is inside the pages of this book. That's what he's talking about. Crave the truth that is here in these pages. Be passionate about the truth that is in these pages. Desire it more than anything else. Crave it. Want it. And the faith, listen, it is this, I'm just going to tell you this, it is this. It is the truth that is contained in, the absolute truth contained in these pages that will help us, help you and help me when we are faced and the people are in our face with trials, tribulations, persecution, ridicule, and mockery. It is this truth that will stand forever. That, it sounds simple, doesn't it? But that's it. Be hungry for that. What does that look like? Again, sounds way simple. It sounds way simple. But being hungry means that you can't do without it. That you gotta get in this stuff. And let it get inside of you. And me. And us. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that, preacher? Come on, tell me. How can I? I'm going to tell you. Listen, in a simple way. I mean, the most simple possible way that I know of. You ready for this? So easy. Out on the Welcome Center, there's a little book called The Daily Bread. Okay? They're out there. I just restocked it. There's about, I don't know, 75 of them out there. And if we run out, there's about 100 more underneath the, around the corner. All right? Don't leave without one. But listen, this sounds so easy, so simple. It is. Because here's the cool thing. You say, well, there's not much in there, really. Oh yeah, there is. You read, look, it'll give you a passage of scripture. It'll say, I don't know, like this one says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 24. Okay, instead of just reading those verses, read all of chapter 5. That's one chapter of scripture that you've read that day. And you know what happens when you do that? God speaks to you. You better have a pen ready. Because when God starts speaking to you, you'll want to underline it. Because that's God talking to you as you read His Word. So you read that passage of Scripture, and then there's this cool little story that goes along with it. And then you say, well, I didn't even know how to pray. Oh, that's okay. There's a cool little prayer here. It's awesome, and it's all here. And you say, well, that, you know, you might go, by the way, if you do that, if we can do that for 21 days, you know what happens when you get 21 days? It forms a habit. And then you're in it. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. We've all got 5 minutes to spare. How many times do we waste 5 minutes like that? You know, 5 minutes. You say, well, I want more than that. Okay, good. Because at the top of the page, if you want to read through the Bible in a year, you can do that. It gives you a guide. How much does scripture read? You can read the Old Testament in the morning, New Testament at night. If you don't want to read all the way through it, you just want to read the New Testament in a year. Okay, just read the New Testament passage. You can read through the New Testament in a whole year. It's the coolest thing ever. So easy. And you know what? I was walking out there in the lobby between services. I had a guy walk up and he said, well, why didn't you talk about the app that's for your phone? And I'm like, what? There's a Daily Bread app for your phone. You don't want to carry the book around? Get the app on your phone. Hello? It's so easy. There's apps for everything. There's a Daily Bread app. Who would ever thought that? But it looks the same. You click on the little thing, it takes you right to Bible Gateway, to the passage of Scripture. You don't have to look it up. I mean, it's amazing the technology that has allowed us to be able to spend time in the Word of God so we can go strong in the right direction. And isn't that what we want to be about? We want to grow strong. We want to be hungry for His Word. We want to be holy, striving after His heart in everything we say and do. You know, we want to be loving and be hopeful and all the things. And here's the thing. Maybe in one of those places that you're thinking, man, I just really need to recommit myself to that. Maybe it's to spending time with God. Maybe it's to allowing His grace to be in your life so you can be better today than you were yesterday. Maybe it's to find that hope that you've been looking for. Maybe it's to love people that you've been struggling with. I don't know what it might be in your life. I know a couple areas in mine I want to talk about. I want to talk to God about. So before we sing, I want to give you a moment. And if your heart's sensing God's presence, I want you to listen to Him. And see what He's got to say. Take some time to read through that scripture passage again. But let's just be quiet before the Lord for a minute. If you want to bow your heads and pray, then pray. If you just want to read through that scripture again, read through the scripture again. But let's take a minute, and then we'll sing together.